The issues that that people ask about a lot when you have a young kihila is that there are a lot of nursing mothers and they want to know about pumping milk on Shabbos. And when you learn through the sugya, it turns out to be nogea to a lot more than nursing mothers. If you ever visit Israel and you buy a bottle of milk, you may notice that on some of the bottles they're kosher lemahadrin and some of them are just kosher with regular rabbanut. And you think to yourself, it's all chalav Yisrael, so that's not that doesn't seem to be the difference. What is the difference between mahadrin milk and non-mahadrin milk? And all of this goes back to the sugya of pumping milk from either an animal or a human on Shabbos. Not to that equation is only meant in terms of mechanically it is the same activity in terms of Melechus Shabbos as far as it's concerned. Save myself all the emails that I have to respond to. I'm not equating anything else other than just the mechanical activity of milking a mammal. The Gemara lists on Daf Tzadiyeh Amar Aleph a number of actions whose violation of Shabbos this is a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Elazar says it's nisid d'oraisa, and the Chachamim say it's only nisid rabbanan. And on the list is something is milking, sweeping a dirt floor, sprinkling water on a dirt floor so that the dust will settle, being rode chalos devash, loaves of honey, and it sounds from the simple reading that the Chachamim hold that it's only nisid rabbanan to milk on Shabbos. And in fact, that's how Rav Haigon understands. Rashba quotes Rav Haigon, and the Ramban also quotes Rav Haigon that it's only an Issa Drabbanan according to the Chachamim. However, the overwhelming majority of Rishonim assume that it's an Issa D'oraisa. When the Chachamim disagree, they're only disagreeing with the portion of the Mishnah that relates to household cleaning, not the portion of the Mishnah that relates to dairy production. So the parts that are dairy production, everyone agrees that those things are Issa D'oraisa. What is the basis? What is the Malacha that is being violated? So it's a machlokas Rishonim, but the majority of Rishonim assume like Shitas HaTosfos in the name of the Ri and Shabbos Davayin Gimelam and Beis, and the Shit of the Rambam Perches Halacha Yud, that milking is also because of Mefarik, which is a tolda of dash. So you're removing the milk from inside the person or animal, and therefore that is a violation, or unloading it, I guess, and therefore it's a violation of Mefarik. Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simen Shin Hei Siv Chaf, that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to milk a Jew's animal due to tzar bali chayim, because it causes the animal a great deal of pain, and therefore amir lenachri is mutar b'makom tzar bali chayim to have a nachri do the milking for you in order to take the animal out of its pain. So there's a major discussion with Hakamas HaMedina and even before Hakamas HaMedina with the renewal of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. How are they going to handle milk? Farms on Shabbos and milking on Shabbos. It was not always easy to find non-Jewish workers, either because of security issues or because of other issues, maybe because of the desire to have Jewish labor and not to hire non-Jewish people. So Rav Kook wrote a tshuva in Orach Mishpat, Orach Chaim Siman Samach Dalid, where he came down very, very strong on this issue. And he said that milking on Shabbos Kodesh by a Jew is absolutely asur, and it's a chil Shabbos, and chas v'shalom to be mekel or to follow any sort of kulas, and there's no other way to milk other than by having a nachri do it. Akave be'ezras Hashem shev namud kulanu ba'aguda achas. He says if we all band together lechazik esidei charedim akdush Shabbos Kodesh to strengthen those people who are makbir akdush Shabbos Kodesh, yimtzu gam ke'ez goyim sheyuchlu lachlov, we'll find goyim who can do this for us. And they'll get it. We'll get the government to give permission that they should be allowed to enter into the moshavot. Despite Rav Kook's very firm stance, in cases where there is no alternative, Rav Kook does point out that it is mutter if the milk is halach li'ibud. If you milk it in such a way where the milk is immediately destroyed, because the malacha of dash, the malacha of the mefarik, the tolda of dash, is when the kavana is to extract the item that you want to extract, but when the item itself is immediately halach li'ibud, that would not be a violation of the malacha. It may be a malach shein tzricha l'gufo, or it could be that it's simply not the definition of mefarik. It's not even a malacha shein tzricha l'gufo. Rav Uziel wrote in a tshuva in Mishpatei Uziel in Chelek Aleph or Chaim Simin Yud, where he's much more makel, and he thinks that there is a way that we could allow a Jew to milk cows and keep the milk because of the tremendous loss and the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And if you knock it down to a Rabbanan, you're allowed to violate the Rabbanan for Yishev Eretz Yisrael, and such arguments. Notwithstanding that, it seems that his arguments have not been widely accepted. So Rav Shaul Yisraeli in Amud Hayemini, Perek Chav Dalit, Khalid writes that there's another Eitzah. When you milk the cow, just milk it into food. That if the milk goes directly onto food, it doesn't have to be Holich Le'ibud, and then it would be Mutter. In fact, there were kibbutzim that did this, they may still do it, that they milk onto bread, and then that milk can't be used as milk anymore, can't be sold as milk, but it's still viable for cheese making. So they'll use the milk that comes out on Shabbos, they'll milk it onto the food, and then they'll use it for cheese making. It's a tremendous, cuts their profits in half, but at least they have what to rely on. Chazanish even writes in Nunvav Ozdalid that you have to work really hard to find a non-Jew to milk, but if that's not possible, then you could be do it Ibud and make sure the milk goes to Ibud. But then the problem seemed to have been solved or partially solved by electric milking machines. The first milking that they do when they use they attach it to an electric machine that's on a timer is that the initial milk comes out, goes to Ibud, and the rest of the milk is happening on its own, so there's no one that's actually doing it. This was done in Kibbutz Chavetz Chaim, and the Chazon Ish was maskim to allow the machines to do this. And in more recent years, Rav Rimon points out, they've added a grumma element to it, that even when they do it, it's with a time delay, so the machine doesn't start operating immediately when the cups are attached to the cow's udders, but it's some delay. And also the first milk goes to the ibud, and then only afterwards the milk is saved. And that's mentioned by the Chazon Ish and Rav Yisraeli as well as being the better way to do it. So when you have milk that's produced on Shabbos in Israel, it's an interesting thing, because if you had it done the Isser, you just had a Jew milking an animal stam, so then you have serious Maaser Shabbos issues, and can you get around those Maaser Shabbos issues? So there are two main companies in Israel, two primary large dairy companies in Israel. There's Tenuva and Tesreishe, I don't know how to pronounce it. Tara, I don't know. So there are two. Those are the two big dairy companies. They have their own dairy farms, but they also outsource to a lot of other farms, and they each have two lines of milk. They have a Mahadran line with a Mahadran Ashkacha, and they have a regular Rabbanut Ashkacha. And the difference between the Ashkachos is that the Mahadran line of milk comes from dairy farms with Ashkacha guaranteeing that the milk was milked in a halachically permissible way, meaning when the animals had to be milked on Shabbos, they had non-Jews doing the milking, whereas the non-Mahadran line means that they could have gotten milk from sources, from local kibbutzim or whatever, that are not religious, where there were Jewish people milking these cows on Shabbos. So wait a second, if that sounds terrible. How is that even non-Mahadran? How is that any Ashkacha at all? So it seems that from a Maisa Shabbos perspective, it may not be as bad as it sounds. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches Evalv Paskins that when a Jew does an Issa D'Oraisa b'mezid on Shabbos, it's only also for him. It's mutter for everybody else. So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that it really shouldn't be a problem. However, there is a famous tshuva, the Ksav Sofer, where he suggests that when it's a mumar who's consistently violating Shabbos b'mezid, then it is going to be usher for everybody else. Rav Si Pesach Frank in Tshuvas Har Tzvisim and Kuf Pei says, what are you talking about? We don't have the right to make our own gzeros. It may make a lot of sense to make such a gzera, but we can't make our own gzeros, and therefore it should be mutter. So maybe if you're lying, Rav Si Pesach Frank, not like the Ksav Sofer, you can get around the Maisa Shabbos issue, although it's still a significant machlokas among the poskim. In addition to that, you also have the suffix added in. When you buy the milk, you don't know if the milk was milked on Shabbos or not. You don't know if it's a mixture of milk that came from dairy farms where a Jew was milking and not, and maybe it's batel. You have no idea what the story is. However, if you pick up a bottle of milk in Israel and you see that there's a date of when it was milked, sometimes they have the date of when it was actually milked, and you see that date is a Shabbos. So, and it's not a Mahadran Ashkacha, so probably better not to have the milk. So what about nursing a baby? How does this all fit in? So nursing a baby in a normal way, the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, Shin Chav Ches Vlamrei, it's totally mutter, it's derech achila, it's not derech malacha. However, pumping milk, when a woman needs to express milk, because she's otherwise filling up too much with milk and it's painful, so that is usher to do if you're going to do it in the normal way. The Bir Halacha in Shin Chav Ches Lamedal, it says in the name of the Prima Gadim, that it's usher min hatorah, to Nisrav Mefarik. The Gemara, this is based on a Gemara, Kuflam et Hayam et Aleph, says that if you have a baby that's a Ben Shmona, that's born in the eighth month, where we assume that baby has zero chance of survival, he's like a Nefel, he's considered dead, and therefore it's Asu L'Taltel, he's Nisra Muktza to move the baby itself. However, there's not Lemaisa nowadays as far as the Muktza issue and as far as the reality of the situation in terms of his chances of survival. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, with medical science being what it is, the baby babies born in the eighth month do quite well usually. However, in that context, the Gemara allows a woman to nurse because of the sakana that the mother experiences when she's holding a lot of milk. And Tosos quotes a Rashba that even if the woman is in tsar, that would be enough because it's melach shein tzrich l'gufa, which makes it only a derabanan. And b'makom tsar lo gozru rabanan, just like mapis morsa. So because she's b'tsar, she's allowed to expel the milk. Lo gozru rabanan. So a woman who's in pain because she has a lot of extra milk, certainly she's allowed to be express the milk to be holeich li'ibud, that she can do. And the way to do that, so in all the svarim, you know, the contemporary svarim, they say, so what she should do is she should hold herself over a sink and express the milk into a sink. I don't know if a man can appreciate how uncomfortable and difficult that is. That is not the etza, right? The practical etza would be to put something in the bottle that she's nursing into, and something, some salt or something that would ruin the milk on the way into the bottle. And that's what Rove Poskim recommend that she does. What kind of pump can she use? So they have manual pumps, which women do not enjoy using very much, but they have electric pumps that women much prefer. Problem is, you're not allowed to use electricity on Shabbos. You're not allowed to turn on electricity on Shabbos. So if you could set the pump on a timer and attach it before the timer turns on, even, that would be even better. But even if you attach it after the timer turns on, but it's going directly to the ibud, so that l'chora would be permissible, and it seems that all the poskim assume that that's okay. However, what if a woman is nursing a baby and the baby needs the mother's milk? The baby can't take anything else. The baby won't take any formula. So then it's pashut that's pikuach nefesh. Of course, the mother is allowed to save the milk for the baby. But what about this circumstance? This comes up all the time. Mother's nursing a baby exclusively. Why? Baby's perfectly happy with formula. Mommy's not happy giving the baby formula. Mommy thinks there's no milk like mommy's milk, and she may be right. And she wants to give the baby her milk. So if that's the case, are you allowed to? And the baby's sleeping now. The baby's not hungry now, and you need as much milk as you can get. Can you save the milk to feed to the baby at some later time? So most poskim say no. Get over yourself. Give the baby a bottle once in a while. However, if Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoting Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and he was makel on this issue, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perik Lamed Vav Os Lamed Beis, and footnote Samach Vav quotes from Shlomo Zalman again Lamed Zayin Aleph to be totally makel when a mother is exclusively nursing, and his cheshbon is that Shinoi Vesed, that whenever you change a habit and eating habits, particularly of little babies, that is there's a certain inherent sakana involved in that, or a certain choli involved in doing such a thing, and therefore if that's what the baby is entitled to have exclusively mother's milk.